This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, brought to you by the Sky Blue Tavern. Dean and Ross Cooper with you this week. Ross, great to be back with you in the mix. Christmas has come early for you. You get to spend the next hour with me.
Well, exactly. And, you know,
you've been a good boy this year.
I have been. I've been spending the last 5-6 weeks, you know, getting in the Christmas spirit, doing the Polar Express, dawning a moustache. Obviously,
I'm about to say, no one can see that, but
no one can see it. My Tom Hanks. So yeah, you know, it's nice to get given a treat back, and being with you today is certainly that. You know, I've kept believing, mate. I've kept believing, and if you believe, good things can come true.
And that's certainly true for this week. I mean, we believe we could go into this week with good intentions, and we've come out of it, you know, two draws, but it feels successful.
Oh, massively, massively. I think beating Birmingham, which was, I think, what we all expected. These two games, or the next three games, Southampton, Leeds, and obviously Sunderland coming up, were games you looked at, two of them being away from home, all in the top six, was going to be a bit of a marker of where we're at, you know, going into the January transfer window. And to come out with two really, yeah, brilliant points, really.
Two very different games as well, weren't they? It needed different approaches for each game, and we've come out, you know, really with success, really, with the 2 points.
Exactly. Southampton was, you know, obviously we were at home and we had moments and probably finished the game the stronger. You know, it was a bit more of a sort of a end-to-end game, both sides having chances. Obviously Leeds away, we, you know, he changed the side, and I think a lot of people sort of, you know, raised a few eyebrows. But, you know, Mark Robbins, he knows what he's doing, you know. And I was a bit concerned initially. I thought, oh, have we gone to the back five again? But no, it was just a brilliant performance. And I think that's the key difference in the last few games and the last few weeks, is that there's been that real belief that actually we can go there and get a result. You rewind to when we had those four straight defeats. There was very little belief. You know, you'd read the forum, the good old forum and Sky Blues Twitter, you know, a month ago, and things were looking doom and gloom. We've wasted all this money, yada, yada, yada. And you fast forward, suddenly change of formation. Who knew? On the, you know, that a back four is what we needed. Yeah, it's not like we've been saying this for months, but yeah, it looks brilliant now. And then a lot of the new signings, I think people have started to realise that actually, when Mark Robbins said, you know, we need a bit of time, these are good players.
There's something
actually,
about them, yeah.
Lo and behold, our manager knows what he's doing. You know, newsflash. But no, it's encouraging, and I think there's a lot to be excited about moving forward for the rest of the season. I really do.
I completely checked out of the Twitter and the forum stuff now. I've just lost interest. I've blocked hashtag PUSB. I just no interest in what people have got to say anymore.
You haven't blocked me though, have you?
No. Well, you don't post much anyway.
I don't, actually,
to be fair, you don't even reply to my text messages. It's horrible.
No, I do. Every, so, I always invite you to Nando's, mate. Like, well, I was gonna meet you, mate, the other week, and you bailed. Like,
I know. Unfortunately, there was some cash on offer elsewhere.
So I would argue that spending Nando's with me is priceless. But
that is true. Yeah. You mentioned about the different sort of styles with, you know, it's horses for courses, isn't it? I don't think a lot of people really have come to terms with that. You know, we've got to go different places, mean different things. You know, we don't have some of the riches that other teams have got. I mean, you look at that Leeds lineup the other day, and six of them are at least Premier League quality. And, you know, we're coming up against them, these different teams with different styles of playing. You know, we've got to react to that. I don't think people truly realise how it works.
No, I don't think they do. And I mean, they've got a striker who they paid over 30 million.
And not even playing him up front.
And he scored less goals than Hadji Wright, who some of our fans up until recently were absolutely, like, castigating. So you're absolutely spot on. And I think the change in system has actually allowed us to have more of a definitive plan B, you know, to be able to go to Leeds and go, actually, we can play De Silva on the left, you know, in front of Bidwell. We can do the same on the right. And I always just felt like the two options we had with the sort of back five was the one up front or two up front, you know, but the midfield would always still have that sort of same amount of cover. So I think it's, you know, you've got to adapt. And I think Mark Robbins is proving, you know, once again, that he knows what he's doing. We have got more options than in previous seasons.
I'm about
seasons.
To say, we've cried about not having a squad for years, and finally it looks like we've got one, and people are surprised that changes are made in like the Christmas period. We've got seven games in 21 days or something like that. It's remarkable, the turnaround.
Well, every team does it, don't they? You know, it's you've got to utilise the squad, and Robbins has said this, and because, you know, you don't want to get other injuries. We don't want O'Hare to blow up again. We don't want Casey Palmer to, you know, have to do too much. Same with Jamie Allen. You know, there's a lot of players, when you think about it, who Jamie Allen didn't have a pre-season at all. You know, he's come in and had to play a lot of games because obviously Hamer going and not bringing in centre mid and all those, and then Sheaf getting injured as well. So you've got to make changes. But the fact that he made all those changes and we went to Leeds and competed and frustrated them and angered them is credit to all the players and to the manager.
We'll come on to Leeds a little bit later, but let's kick off with the Southampton game. Have a little look back at that one. We talked about the side there. It was unchanged, actually, going into this one, but a slightly different formation, 4-4-1-1, which was quite surprising to me at home to play that way. Hadji Wright and Sakamoto a little bit deeper rather than being completely up front in a three.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, again, Mark Robbins must have looked at the opposition, and I think it was going to be, going into this game, it was clear that Southampton are several levels above where Birmingham are at the moment. And obviously Birmingham was a lot more attacking from our point of view, you know, much more like a front sort of three. But it worked well. You know, we know Russell Martin's sides, you know, when he was at Swansea, we've never done particularly well, you know, sort of against them. So I think Mark Robbins knew.
You know what you're going to get, right? Yeah. Yeah, 72% of possession, over 550 more passes than us, an intricate team, but they struggle to break teams down as well. And that's probably why we've gone with that sort of flat four in the middle of the park, really, just to keep it steady and resolute, really.
Well, you're playing a side who the manager, when you listen to him, he wants he's happy for his side to play that extra sideways pass. Do you know what I mean? To keep, rather than try and play that penetrative pass and lose the ball. You know, he's all about, sometimes they lose matches, but he seems delighted because they did 60,000 sideways passes in the game. So, I mean, I think Mark Robbins thought, well, you know what? When we're without the ball, we'll bank up like that. We know they'll go sideways, but we know what we can do on the counter. And again, in the second half, we then just stepped it up a notch, didn't we? And
We were pretty wasteful, though, when we did get hold of the ball. Like, it was quite sloppy at times.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I think you could say that about us in most games. It's those fine margins. I think in those moments when we pick it up, if we just could have that little bit extra quality, whether it's composure, I think we could cause problems. Because we've got players who, the movement is almost there. It always just feels like the pass is like just behind or just in front, or you know, slightly overhit or slightly underhit.
Just a bit laboured, isn't it, at times? Like, I felt that.
Or panicky, laboured, and then, and or like, we get it, and then suddenly it's like, oh, we've got the ball now. Especially against the Southampton side, the Russell Martin side, you go for long periods without the ball, you suddenly get it, and it's almost like, right, now we need to do something with it. And I think
it's like panic mode, yeah.
Panic, yeah.
But we also did that, like, in games at Millwall away. It felt the same. Like, I know we won, but if sometimes I do feel like we don't realise how much time and space we've got, and we just go into panic mode.
We give opposition, I think, encouragement sometimes. I think we could strangle games. I think we've been in positions in matches, Millwall, prime example, where literally that game should just finish and it should just peter out from their point of view because they just can't get near us and we're composed and we just knock it about. But we seem to, I don't know, like you say, panic, and then we give it away in silly positions, and all of a sudden we just give opposition that little bit of encouragement, that little bit extra territory and that opportunity to put balls in the box and cause us problems when you think, actually, if we were just a little bit smarter, you know, it almost feels like when we have the ball, the pitch is 6-a-side size, and then without it, it's 11-a-side.
Yeah.
Like, we just seem to panic. I don't know.
And I think, like, the team sort of run into sort of what I'm calling Ben Sheafitis as well. It's like, when Ben plays well, the team plays well, but when Ben doesn't have a great game, that sort of affects the whole team. Do you feel that same way? Because I feel like the last 3 or 4 weeks, he really hasn't been at his best. But that sort of merges onto the rest of the team.
I think there's a lot expected of him, I think, at the moment. You know, he's obviously playing a crucial position. I think a lot of people look at him out of the midfielders and go, you know, with Heyman not being there, as we need you to drive us forward. And I've seen that more, but I think there's a lot of pressure on him. So I think when he gives the ball away,
it shows more, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I think
he's
so.
Undoubtedly one of the best players in the division, though. Like, that's not...
Of course he is.
You know, that's... I'm not saying that. It's... What I'm saying is that it feels like he's doing too much at the moment, whereas...
He's integral. He's integral to... Like you say, I think if we play well, he has played well in the game. 100%. I agree.
But he's also covering three roles, isn't he? That's the thing. That's a major concern for me. That's why I still feel like we are woefully short in the middle of the park, because
of course we are, and that the recent results should not change anyone's perspective on that at all. We need a centre mid, and I'm absolutely certain we'll get one, and that would then allow Ben Sheath then to
do what he does best.
Do what he does best. It feels like he's trying to be this box to box midfielder, but he's also trying to be this sort of deep line playmaker. He's also trying to be this defensive midfielder, and I think it is asking a lot from him. So there are going to be mistakes at times. And I think having someone next to him in that Heyman mould just would elevate his performance more consistently.
Yeah.
And then would help the team.
Yeah. But he did play a part in the goal. He managed to dispossess the Saints midfielder as he does so often. Releases O'Hare. And Hadji Wright, we've talked about composure. Composure for weeks on this podcast, and he showed it here. Great finish.
Brilliant finish. I mean, great first touch. You know, defender didn't know which way he was going to go. Yeah, just great composure, and then just a really confident finish. And I think the celebration, I mean, I feel like that's a moment there where actually, I think a lot of fans, you know, they're blowing the kiss to the talented fans, yeah, showing that real passion. I think that's the moment where our fans can go, you know what? This guy's on 6 goals. He's on course to hit 15, 16 this season. And if he does that, I chat to people around me where I sit who slate him. And I go, well, we've spent this money. If his return is 15 goals a season, we'd go, that's pretty good.
First year in a brand new division, new country. That is a good return for me.
And so my argument with them is, but we're not at the end of the season. So they're almost like they're expecting him to be on 15 goals
already
now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we're just over a third of the way through the season, and he's a third of the way to that target. So, I mean, and actually, I think, yes, at times there's been poor finishing, but at times there's been some joke saves. There's been some bad luck. He's going to score goals for us. And I think, and you can see, you know, he is starting to settle. He's showing a bit more aggression. He's looking like a dangerous player. And it was a great finish from him. And again, I think if Vic does that, you know, that finish, everyone would be...
Oh, it's lauded, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's lauded. So great from him. Brilliant from O'Hare. Perfect way to pass. And yeah, really sort of emphatic finish.
I am seeing signs from both him and Sims now that they're sort of finding a bit of their feet in the team. They're getting a run in the team, which is so important. I think like people downplay that so much, is that they need a consistent run in the team, learn systems, play minutes, learn how everybody works, and you'll get the benefits of that. And we've seen it from Wright the last couple of weeks, and even Sims's performance on Saturday I thought was outstanding as a lone striker. We'll come on to that later on, but the signs there now that there is something about them. And Sims is only, what, 22 years of age as well?
Well, that's the thing. He's 22. I think people forget because he like just looks obviously a lot older and stuff. He's 22. So it would only take, you know, like, let's say this season, he could score a few goals and finish on 6, 7, 8 goals or something. But then next season, suddenly it's like, you know, he's 23. And then he could get into double figures. You've then got to play there, and it's like he's still only 23. And I think our fans forget that. And, you know, and Wright, 25. I mean, again, it's like they're showing really positive signs, and they've got a lot of football ahead of them.
A lot of maturity ahead, yeah. Let's talk about their goal. So disappointed. I think that's like the one time we sort of really, really switched off, giving the ball away again, three players being dragged towards a cross. Obviously, Armstrong gets a flick on, and then Adozie finishes. Where do you sort of blame here? Where do you put the blame?
I think giving the ball away, where we did, you know, again, it's just that game management sometimes in those moments to go, actually, just we do have more space and there are people open. And sometimes we choose the wrong option. And then when we get it wrong one too many times,
it costs us, yeah. That's the panic mode again, isn't it? The panic mode.
It is that panic mode, you know. And I just think, you know what? There is nothing wrong. Like, I know they're going to keep the ball, but the difference is they're then losing. So their tempo is going to have to, you know, they can't just keep passing it sideways, sideways, sideways. So we know they're going to have to take a few more risks, and then we can try and intercept the ball and counter. I just think there's nothing wrong with playing the ball like Sims, you know, working hard, strength, you know, putting one-on-one with the defender, put the ball in the channel. Ask questions of them.
It's about managing the game, isn't it? Managing that type of game at that period when you're 1-0 up. It's very different to being 0-0. Like you say, they've got to force it a bit more. So it just needs a steady and calm nerve through the team. And maybe that's where like the likes of Fads comes into his own at that point, you know. Is able to galvanise and manage how we play through that period. We are definitely missing that as well. I'm not saying Fad should come in for Bobby Thomas or Kitchen because they're outstanding at the moment. I'm not saying that at all, but I think we are lacking that sort of leadership in a way.
That in-game sort of nous, you know, to on the pitch to sort of go, guys, listen, next 5 minutes, they're going to come, next 10 minutes, let's just play it simple. Let's not try and be too cute and, you know, and clever. I think that's what happened. And then, the problem is then one thing, it's like dominoes, and then suddenly, I mean, the finish, yeah, hits into the ground. Bidwell's unlucky that, you know, I think if he hits it any other way, he probably blocks it.
Yeah.
And then obviously ends up in the back of the net.
Another plus point, Palmer back into the fold after a lengthy absence again. But it looked lively, doesn't he? And that's, again, another great option to have. He found some pockets of space that I don't think anybody else probably would have found on the pitch. Some little really nice intricate turns as well, and very unlucky towards the end with that through ball to Hadji not to pick up the win. I thought that was a great chance.
Well, yeah, that moment, that chance, that pass to Ben Sheaf as well, that reverse pass.
Ben Sheaf,
he used that strength. He's got that. What he's got that height. He's got that strength, and he did incredibly well. Shrug off two Southampton players, play that slip pass through to Sheaf, and I thought an opportunity here, you know, and it was a good save from the goalkeeper, and then that ball to Hadji Wright. I mean, we're talking half a second. We're talking, you know, if he bends his run and it's the right run, and it's like the ball's just ever so slightly later, you know, he'd have been in 1-1. I think that was probably Hadji Wright's best game for us. I think he looked like a menace. And you sort of back him to go through there and finish and win the game. So, yeah, some really encouraging signs from Palmer. And you just look at, you know, O'Hare suddenly really just start to go through the gears now. Sakamoto looking like, you know, MVP really, you know, and looking incredibly exciting. So there's a lot to get excited about. And then we've got the January window, you know, just a few weeks away. So
there's definitely going to be additions, isn't there?
I think there has to be now. I think that we definitely need a left winger, someone to be on that side, or someone who could play on both. So if you're taking Sakamoto off, at the moment it's like, well, who are we bringing on? You know, I don't think O'Hare is that wide player. I think
Robin's alluded to that, didn't he? He finds it very difficult to replace Van Ivac and Sakamoto because he hasn't got anybody else in their mould.
No, and I think it's clear. I think we need at least two players. I think we need a centre mid. We all know that. And I think we need someone who can play on that, on either wing, because obviously Hadji Wright's been playing on the left. But if you take him off, who are you putting on there? So I think two additions minimum, really. I think defensively, you look at it and players have really stepped up. I mean, you said it at the time. I was buzzing with Kitchen, you know, and then, you know, people were then slating the signing. Like, we never slated the signing. We said, I never understood why he wasn't playing. But all of a sudden now, I mean, 4 million or whatever it was, he looks, him and Bobby Thomas, both our players. That's the key thing. They're both our players. So they're 4-year deals. And you look at them and go, they've got that nasty side to them. But Kitchen looks a leader to me. Like
there's an understanding between them as well, which is really, really good to see. It's sort of, I know this is maybe taking the piss a little bit, but it sort of reminds me of the sort of the Ferdinand Vidic understanding. I'm not saying they're at that level, of course not, but it's just got inklings of that for me.
Yeah, yeah. They seem on the same wavelength, don't they? And I thought about this a lot. I think there's players who, I think a lot more players now in this system look way better than they did. I think there's one player or two players who look good in a back five, Fads would being one of them in the middle of the back three. But actually, I think a lot of the other players sort of look worse. Mm. You know, you go to the back four, Van Ivac, for example, and Bidwell. I mean, in a back five, when we got wing backs where the whole thing was, they have to be the wide outlet. They were so conservative at times. Suddenly we go to about four, but we've actually got
They've got more freedom, outside, it seems like.
And then they've got more freedom and they're absolutely bombing on. And you go, what? You're not just scratching your head thinking...
Because that it should be the absolute opposite way around.
It should be the opposite. And
more crosses with standard left and right backs than we are with wing backs, which is just mental.
I just felt it was very predictable, like the wing back situation, because if De Silva or Bidwell or Van Ivac had the ball on the halfway line, there was nobody ahead of them. But they, and it's like, well, if that's how high up, whereas now it's like, it's just, there's that positivity. And we've said this about Kitchen. When he first came on against Cardiff, what he did is he got the ball, whereas Binks, you know, and people were rating Binks, I thought he did well, but he was very safe, always sideways. Kitchen gets it, he drives forward. Bobby Thomas wants to do the same. And then all of a sudden, it frees a man up in the midfield. Suddenly you've got Sakamoto and then Van Ivac overlapping him. It's exciting to watch. It really is. And I think if we can do the same on the left side, maybe get a left winger, because I do think Hadji Wright can play on the left. He's doing well, but also could it then freeze him up to be able to move into the centre. I think an extra couple of options there would go down a treat.
Anyone you'd like to see in Sky Blue that comes to mind?
Oh, goodness. I haven't played enough Football Manager. I've been very busy.
See, for me, I think, like, I look at Sirikia Dembele the other week for Birmingham, and I'm thinking he is absolutely perfect for that left-hand side. But it's going to cost a bit of cash. And whether Birmingham are going to part with one of their better players, that's like... But him, someone of that mould for me would be perfect.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I look at... And I know we were linked with him in the summer. I look at like a Callum Stiles in terms of the centre-mid, that sort of someone, that energy. And then on the left, yeah, that Dembele, someone who, like, I mean, he's again very tricky, isn't he? Like, he can dribble. You know, you imagine him holding, dribbling, and then Bidwell or De Silva overlapping on the left. You know, similar to how it is with Sakamoto and Van Ivac, and all of a sudden you go, wow, this looks, it's going to be.
It's totally different, like, we're prospect, asking teams, isn't it?
Yeah, different prospect. We're asking teams a lot more questions, and they've got to come up with the answers. Whereas I feel like in our old system, it was just very. I knew exactly what we were going to do before we did it. And it was like, so if I can, then you know, the opposition surely can. So, yeah, I don't know, really. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was more foreign targets, you know, people that we've not really heard of. I mean, you look at someone like Sakamoto, if he was in the Championship, I mean, how much would teams want for him? Do you know what I mean? Like, we got him for $1.5 million. I mean, the guy's just coming to his own.
There's just many players who get you up off your seat, right, in this division, like him, where you know, you never know what's going to happen, really. Like, it's just like, it's a complete box of tricks. And there's not many players in the league that, you know, can do what he has shown so far. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, it costs, someone like him would cost a fortune if he was in this division. Whereas we've gone overseas to find somebody, and, you know, we've got him for relative peanuts, really.
Peanuts.
Grand scheme of things.
And also his work rate, like his whole attitude is absolutely bang on. I mean,
that's culture as well, isn't it? That's culture.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. He's just so, he just works his absolute socks off. I can't help but smile every time I see him on any footage because he's just beaming like a kid. Absolutely love it. I think it's absolutely top quality. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Let's wrap up the Southampton game then. Man of the match for you? Sounds like Hadji.
Hadji, right, for me. I think it was his best game for us. Yeah, really, really dangerous. Took his goal well and almost got in on another couple of occasions as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Hadji, right, for me as well.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, let's move on to Saturday's fixture at Elland Road versus Dirty Leeds. You mentioned the starting 11. Obviously, in hindsight, it's worked, but I think everybody was taken back by what we saw on that Twitter post come 2 o'clock on Saturday. What was your thoughts? I think you said you were concerned it was back five again.
Well, to be honest, I didn't know what it was. I was about to do a show and I checked the lineup and I saw Latibodier. I then saw Cools. I saw Van Ava, I saw De Silva and Bidwell. I was like, what is going on? I thought, what? And then I saw Sakamoto and Sims, and that felt like, and I thought, I'm going to go to the North Pole, take kids on the journey, beat Tom Hanks, and I'll come back and see what's going on. I didn't know what.
Are there any pictures or video evidence of you actually doing this for a show?
Yes, I'll send them to you. yes, mate, there's loads on Instagram.
Rather than you just doing this for fun.
No, mate, I get paid for this. Yeah, I'm not. This is not by choice at all. So it did raise a few eyebrows, and I guess the fear was, I think a lot of people's reaction came from the Ipswich game, you know, where he made those changes, and it felt like we were sort of surrendering to them a little bit. But I think actually, on reflection, it was the certain individuals, Ayari starting, for example, people who just seem off it in terms of off the ball. But everyone he played against Leeds, De Silva, Bidwell, people, you know, bodies on the line, everyone working super hard. No passengers. And then you can't afford that against Leeds.
I say you're going up against the team in the division with probably the most energy, the most pace, trickery in the whole of the league. You know, the way to beat that is, first of all, try and match the energy, of course. But more importantly, have some kind of shape, a system and incredible discipline. I think we showed all of that in abundance throughout the whole 90 minutes. I know there was opportunities for Leeds, but you're never going to tie a team down to zero opportunities. But I think what we did was just really sort of hold those opportunities back for them in a way.
100%. And actually what it showed to me was clearly it's been something that we've been working on since Southampton's gone, right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go there. And I mean, it just makes me laugh, you know, all the aftermath of, you know, the expectation that we should just go down, roll on our backs and let
the entitlement is ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, it's real. I don't get it. Like, you know, we've had teams come to us, and clearly it's like Plymouth, for example, they wanted a point, right? And they almost got it. If we had drawn 0-0, there'd have been frustration. But the frustration would have been, for me, would have been at ourselves that we didn't put the ball in the back of the net. Leeds took the lead. They put the ball in the back of the net. You know, we then went up the other end, got an equaliser. And actually, again, you spoke earlier about panicking. There was moments where, had you right, O'Hare, Alan running towards the Leeds penalty area. And you're thinking, if we were just a little bit more calm,
the Palmer chance
would have been in.
The Palmer chance is, you know, that's sort of epitomizes everything we've said here about panicking. Like the ball, he's got an opportunity there to, you know, take control of the ball and sort of finesse it. But it's just a pop shot of nothing really. And that's pure panic mode because we're in a position high up the pitch that we haven't been in often in this game. We've got an opportunity and we've just snatched it. And that's frustrating because we're sort of, those opportunities don't come around very often in a game like this. And we had two or three of them in the game and we've let it slip really. You know, we could be sitting here thinking about what are the best performances of a Coventry City side in the last 10 years, really. And we've come away with 3 points. And I know we've come away with one and that's a success in a way, but it could have been so much better as well.
Well, I guess the way I look at it is the game plan would have been, you know, what it was, but when we get it, you know, we would have surely been thinking when we break and get in those positions, these are our moments.
Make
so,
something
you know,
of the opportunity.
So like that great move, Van Avac bombing in, and then that sort of tickle of like a cross. But I mean, it did sort of cause a bit of chaos, but I'm thinking you could have taken that further into the box. Do you know what I mean? And if it just felt like O'Hare and Wright are like running, and it's like, if we could just be a bit cuter, if someone just drops in and he just lays it back and then we can't finish and then go take the lead, you'd be thinking, what a goal. Like, this has been our game plan. It's almost like the defensive game plan was bang on. And obviously we scored, got the equaliser, fantastic. But it is that panicky. And it is easier said than done in the heat of the moment, you know, sell out.
Of course. But it felt like running for running's sake by O'Hare and right at that opportunity because a bit of conviction and we get a goal from that.
I'll put it this way. If roles are reversed and the opposition go up and do that, you can just see it. It would just be, it's like we forgot what anything we'd do in training in that position and they just thought, oh, just straight line running. Whereas if someone had, if O'Hare had like dropped in, taken a little bit of space and Van Avac, you know, it was almost like we put the ball in hoping that something would happen rather going, this is what we're going to do to score the goal there. But I mean, look, I can't complain. I would have snapped your hand off for a point.
I think the best thing for me is sort of rattling Leeds, isn't it? I mean, it's priceless. I mean, it's the fallout from the weekend has just been amazing to see. It's so funny. You know, we've gone to a team, as I said, probably the toughest place to go in the division for atmosphere, etc. Although it sounded absolutely horrific there, other than the Sky Blue Army. We've gone there aiming to frustrate them. You know, a team full of players well above this level, and we've done a job. You know, it's just beautiful to see. The tears are incredible. I didn't think we had
because
that in us to
do
that.
Go there. Everyone has to go there and just hand them 3 points.
3 points, yeah.
And leave with our toes between our legs and go home, like by the sounds of it.
I'd have loved Robbins to come out right and give it the old Big Sam. Oh, I can't, you know, he can't take it that we've out tactic them and all that stuff. Was that versus Mourinho when Big Sam did that? That was so good. I'd have loved Robbins to come out and you know, with a comment such as that. Because it's stemmed through the whole team. You could see that at the end of the game from Leeds. You know, they were frustrated. Somerville, you know, the biggest crybaby in the world. Talk about being kicked all day and stuff. Oh, welcome to professional football. Has he not gone through a game where he's not been kicked before? You know, it's just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And then not shaking someone's hand. What are you playing at, fella? I know you've missed chances, but
he epitomizes the Leeds fan base. Fan base in Somerville. They just absolutely in tune. I mean, what was great from our point of view is seeing our team, the togetherness, you know, to defend, bodies on the line, like literally. Big shout out, actually. You know, he's been out the side. Brilliant. I thought he was, you know, brilliant, to be fair. You know, utility man, defensive mid, right back, and he's a leader. He's got that sort of, you know, at the end, you know, Bobby Thomas, Kitchen, all these players. And you go, you know what? These are the players of tomorrow for our squad. You know, you the fads, Kelly, it sort of feels like a bit of a changing of the guard in terms
of 100%.
The next leaders, you know, for Coventry City.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because even for this season, I think that was a real turning point in that game. And, you know, it showed grittiness, determination, something we haven't really shown this year. We've been too nice. Let's be honest about it. We've been way too nice. There was an XY graph showing that this week of like, we don't get pick up yellow cards, etc. But this game, we just showed a bit of bite to us. You know, everyone working hard for each other, G'ing each other up. For me, that's a big turning point in the year. Again, we've seen the social videos going to their Christmas party afterwards. I'm not sure where they were going. Were they going to the darts, were they, or...?
I'm not sure where they're going. It was in London, wasn't it? It was St. Pancras. So I'm not sure where they were going. Maybe,
but you could see everybody was in a good mood, talking to each other, really happy, you know, egging each other on to sing songs, etc.
I know, but you read the forum, people would have you believe at the start of the year that everyone hates each other. Like, you know, it's like, this is a joke. But I mean, I think what you said there, I think that is a key moment for all those players he played. If you'd said to any of us, me included, Leeds away, who's the one player you want in the team? I'd have gone, Fads. Do you know what I mean? I'd have gone, we need someone who's going to talk. So to go there and defend like we did with two young centre-backs, you know, I think that is a huge moment for them. I think in terms of going, you know what, this is our centre-back partnership for years, you know, years to come. Latip Modier, Ben Sheep, Jamie Allen, and credit to him driving forward, you know. And what was nice, we equalised, and then Robbins instantly was like, scrubs, but attacking players.
But it's mad. Yeah, that's not normally the Robbins
way. Piss even more. Just go, you know what, now we're going to go for it. And it almost worked. It was almost perfect. Like, if we just had that composure in one of those moments.
That was part of the game plan as well, wasn't it? You know, get to 60, 65 minutes and then switch things up and see if we could muster up something. But obviously we did with the goal. We will talk about the goals. I want to mention Latip Modier. You mentioned him there in a couple of passing comments. I thought he had an outstanding game in that sort of midfield sweeper role, really. He wasn't really part of the midfield or the defence. It was just sort of like roaming around that sort of middle of those two sections. I think him having, like, he has played there for Jamaica, obviously, but having him there really allowed Kitching and Thomas really just to focus on that forward line. And I think he did an outstanding job. And, you know, that's definitely something to look at in the future. We've mentioned, you know, midfielders. Will that allow Ben Sheaf to be freed up a little bit more if we need Latip Modier to play there the next couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, I think again, Leeds away, there's not many tougher places to go. So to go there and show that you can do it there. If you can do it there, then you can do it against anyone else in the division. And I think it's one of those games where it felt like it was going to be a sink or swim, like it was going to be like a disaster, and it was going to be, okay, this is where we're at. There's, you know, young side, they've got to learn. But actually, I think it was a lot of a case of boys turning into men actually in that game. Do you know what I mean? You know, there's a lot of young players. People like, you know, you could have looked at someone like Sakamoto or, you know, Van Avak, or, you know, people who, could the occasion get to them a little bit? Or Ellis Sims leading the line. But like you said, he led the line brilliantly, you know, throughout the game. Sakamoto, quality when it matters, you know, pinpoint cross. Bobby Thomas, you know, he was outstanding, you know.
That was the goal. Even like the thing you've just mentioned there with Thomas, you know, that was definitely something that had been worked on. You could see that quite clearly when either one of the centre-halves had the ball and they could drive forward into a little bit of space. Latip Modier there was there for cover, so give them the freedom to do that. So there was a game plan there, and it was clear to see throughout the whole game, which, so credit to Robbins and Vivash for this.
Movement, though, since in the last half a dozen games, or, you know, since the sort of Stoke game, when it, you know, we got that 0-0 and changed it, there seems to be movement. There's a bit of fluidity about us, rather than being this very rigid side to side, and nothing going on. I mean,
it comes from confidence, that, Ross.
Confidence, and I think round pegs and round holes. I think people, and playing, like you say, you can see those individual connections now all over the pitch, whether it's Kitchen and Thomas in the centre. Latip Modier, like you say, him knowing that awareness to dropping in. I think the right side Van Aebak, Sakamoto, there's that connection there. And that's been built because they're playing games, they're playing 90 minutes together. The left side, you know, whether it's obviously De Silva, Bidwell on the weekend, but whether it's Bidwell and Haji Wright, or things are starting to build. And like you said at the top of the show, it comes from playing games, getting minutes. You can do all you want in training, but you have to see it working, you know, on a match day and away at Elland Road. You know, there's no tougher places to put, you know, practice into effect, really.
Let's talk about our goal. I'm not going to talk about theirs too much. I don't want to give Somerville much more of a mention on this programme this week. But Bobby Thomas obviously getting his first goal for the Sky Blues. And the ball from Tatsu is just perfect, isn't it? You know, it's lovely in swinging, not too deep, not too close to the keeper, but just absolutely perfect. And I don't think people have mentioned this enough, really, but I'm going to applaud Bobby Thomas in his bravery for this. Not bravery as in getting up for the ball in between two defenders, but having that commitment to the run, getting into the box, continuing that run and getting on the end of something. Like, I don't think we've really pushed that narrative much this weekend. It feels like he's done an unbelievable job there to find a gap 100%. And get in position.
But he could have run forward, played that ball out, and then just sort of stopped there.
Yeah.
And sort of just gone back and gone, ah, you know, I'm out of my zone, really. But no, he carried on. Like you said, I think that's huge credit to him. He scored goals last year. And I think that, you know, him and Kitchen, both the centre-backs, score goals, you know, and the records, you know, show that. And it was a great header. The ball from Tats is just quality. And that's the one part of his game. It's like, if he can start getting those numbers up, assists, goals, because the rest of his game, his strength, he seems more durable, you know, and that goes for Van Aebak as well. Both of them seem to be able to get in through games, you know, and he's quick, his skill, his agility, all of that we know is, you know, he's shown that right from the start, but now it's tactically, you can just see he knows where he needs to be, and the quality is just fantastic. You wonder, you know, Could he be on corners, you know?
Oh, God.
With those sort of balls in. But
we didn't have a corner in this game. No corners. Not one corner in the game.
Mad. Because
I had us down for 4.5 corners on my bet, and it's the one thing that let us down.
Oh, dear. But
very frustrated.
But a great header. Great header from Thomas, you know, and it was headed down, and the keeper didn't have a chance, and... Yeah, loved his celebration as well.
And Tats' celebration as well. Have you noticed when obviously we score, the camera's still obviously quite wide at that point. His celebration, he was just absolutely loving it. But Bobby didn't go and say thanks to him, I noticed.
He just ran off.
Yeah. No, even after that though, in the little huddle and stuff, yeah. Like he just disregarded poor Tats.
Chief went over to Tats.
He did, yeah. Most of the team did, to be fair.
I mean, it's things like that where you go, yeah, that it's just that is quality in the right moments at the right time. And I you can't not like Tats. There's no fan can even the most deluded fan who sits around me could possibly moan at him because he's just like, I don't know how I can't not smile.
Are you sure they're not just like delusions in your head? These fans.
No. I can tell you for a fact.
Your actual own thoughts.
Haji Wright haters around me. Although, like I say, the last few weeks they've been dying down a little bit. But no, Sakamoto is, yeah, his passion just he just leaves everything out there. And to be fair, I can say that across the board. And I think that's been the big thing. Me and you and Dave Moore spoke about it months ago. You know, that perception about, say, Haji Wright. You know, about how he looks on the pitch. Well, actually, I think people have seen the last few games, the tracking back, the working, Ellis Sims, the strength. And you look around the squad now and you go, Bobby Thomas, Kitchen, putting their bodies on the line, the same Van Aebak.
Bit of shithousery from them as well.
And you go through the team and you go, actually, there isn't one passenger. You know, O'Hare, we know what he does off the ball. Casey Palmer. The thing is now, the standard's set, you know, to anyone coming on. And that's why Ayari's not playing, because he does not hit that
those levels.
Level of like of work rate, you know, what Mark Robbins wants. And I think Ipswich is almost, I know I didn't speak about this, I haven't been on the pod for a few weeks, but that to me, on reflection, felt like here's your opportunity, you know, away at informed side in the league. Let's see what you do. And he sank in that game, whereas a lot of people against Leeds stood up.
And you talk about the opportunity, even in that Ipswich game, you know, we did have opportunities to showcase stuff in that game. I know Ipswich had a lot of the ball in the first half, but the likes of Ayari, I think O'Hare even wasn't great in that game either. He got another opportunity, O'Hare, but you've got to show there's a level now. You've got to hit that level. And if you're not hitting that level, you're not going to play. It's as simple as that. You're not going to get on the pitch. You know,
we've got options to change it. It's not like last year or last two, three seasons where we've got sometimes one player per position. Bidwell and De Silva both know their form dips. The other
they're fighting. It's the same with Kitchen and Thomas. You know, if their form dips, you've got Fads and Binks, who's played well this year, to come in. We're now getting competition for places in different areas of the pitch, which is good to see. Obviously, we've mentioned there are still gaps, of course, and hopefully we'll fill those. But even when you look at the bench, you know, we've had a couple of academy players on there this year, and they're not getting a look in now. So it's, you know, these, you know, are they being told, okay, lads, you've got to fight for your place on the bench now? That's, you know, it's great to see that we have options.
And that should only increase, you know, in January, you know, bringing in a couple of reinforcements. There's obviously, Robbins has alluded to Tavares going out on loan. And I mean, what do you think we need? I've already sort of said, I mean, what would you like to see come in?
I want to see a right back. I want to see a centre midfielder and I want to see a left midfielder. And I think if we get that, we've got an opportunity to really push on for the second half of the season. I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to make the playoffs, but it could be one of those seasons where we've showed something that going into next year.
You set ourselves up for next year to absolutely like kick on. Because
think
like
of
say,
having it, a year's worth of experience with some of these players in the division, and then next year we even bolster that even more in the summer. It's, you know, really exciting opportunities.
If the one flop is a lone player, and we, you know, we're seeing Hadji Wright, we're seeing actually, yeah. There's a player there and he's going to call, you know, every game he gets like chances sort of thing. So, you know, we've had strikers in recent years, Waghorn, Walker, who would never get a chance. Never. Because their movement, something's not right. It's not look. Do you know what I mean? Like his movement, he's in the right places. Sims, I'm seeing glimpses from Van Aback now showing what he can be. Sakamoto showing what he can be. If we can get O'Hare tied down, you know, and you look at like next year, you look at it and think Kitchen, Thomas, Collins, all these players, year experience. There's not many players going back. We've got two loans. Yeah. You know, whereas last year we had the whole back line was loans. We had all these people out of contract. I agree. I think we can have an exciting end of the season or second half of the season, which you never know could get us in the playoffs. I really, you know, I'm not ruling it out, but like you said, even if we fall slightly short, I think next season and beyond, you know, is looking exciting.
When you look at, let's look at the table now. So 25 points, is it 25 points? No, I'm looking at the wrong... 27 points. I was looking at goals, sorry. 27 points. Hull in that sixth position at the moment and 36 points. 9 points. You know, it's not inconceivable that you could make that up. You know, we showed that last year. 36. So 16 points splits the last team in the playoffs to the first team in the relegation zone. You know what this division's like. We just know. You know, we've got 9 draws this year, which is the second most in the league. You know, you think
there's a lot of teams above us who've lost considerably, you know, 2-3 more matches.
Blackburn have lost 4 more matches than us.
You know, and you know, you look at some of those draws and you go, last minute.
It's not inconceivable we could have turned at least 2 or 3 of those around. You're thinking maybe that's another 4 to 6 points we could have got. You know, we could have been touching the playoffs now.
Exactly. Christmas. And you look at it and it's a long season. There'll be teams who then... Look at Preston, started really well, have won 3 in 15. You look at Cardiff, they're showing like they might start dropping. Last year, we had O'Hare got, you know, injured on Boxing Day. We then injured. And somehow we made a run. So you look at it and you go, actually, it's the opposite. We've got an opportunity to bring people in now. You know, like,
we haven't played our best football this year.
No.
At all. Like, it hasn't happened in these 22 games. We haven't played, you know, consistently good football. But now we've got an opportunity. We've kind of found something the last couple of weeks. Now we can push on, really. Is this the opportunity now to really, you know, stake a claim, get in and amongst the top 12, and let's push on and see what we can get from there?
Yeah, 100%. I agree. And we've obviously still got the, you know, the weapon of Liam Kelly for the final six games of
exactly.
the season like
you
last
never,
year.
You
know, to bring on.
Exactly.
You never know.
He just leads us on again to another 15 points in the last like 10 games or whatever it was, and you know, gets us into that playoff. It's exciting. It's really exciting.
I also wanted to mention on the Leeds, I thought Collins, some good saves from him. Played, you know, he's played ever so well, and obviously I'm not really going to speak about him on the pod for a few weeks, and I've been very impressed. I think he showed some good shot stopping against Leeds, a couple double save, and you know, some of their shots were sort of inside the penalty area, sort of point blank sometimes. And yeah, he did well. And obviously his distribution in previous matches when we've had a bit more of the ball, has been very calm, composed, and I think that's helping, isn't it? I think that relationship that he's got with the two centre backs in front of him from sort of the Barnsley days, you know.
But also getting a run in the team, Ross. I don't think any of us had sort of reservations about him other than the one-off appearance at the Wimbledon Cup game, which, you know, obviously you can't judge too much from. But it was about him waiting for an opportunity. When the opportunity comes, then you got to take it, right? And he's done that. Wilson wasn't playing well. I don't think anyone can question really Wilson having the gloves at the start of the season, but you know, it's changed. The tide has changed, and Collins has come in and done a really, really good job. Although my stream went down and I went on Twitter and I saw the Cov admin had posted what a double save from Collins. I think in that, you know, point blank, bang, bang, save. And there was like 20 seconds in between two saves. I was quite surprised by that.
Yeah, no, it was, yeah, it wasn't quite like, yeah, shot, rebound, shot, was it? But no, he got down well. And yeah, obviously you have to ride your luck in those situations. Dan James missing a guilty chance at the end. But yeah, fantastic point all in all.
Right, we'll end it there. We'll have a preview episode coming out this week ahead of Saturday's game versus Sunderland. From Ross and myself, big thank you for listening once again on the Sky Blues Extra podcast. We'll see you next time. Play up, Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.